The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jaya Bhataka Swami on January 3, 1990 in New Orleans, Louisiana. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 13, Text 13.
Karoti vacha lang pangulang gayate giring at kipa tamahang bande si gurung dinatarinang paramanando madhavam si chaitanya ishwaram yesang na tushta bhagavan yagnyalingo janardhana tesham sramo hyapartaya yad atma nadrita swayam. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. Translation with repetition: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana,
Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana,
Lord Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore, one who does not satisfy him
certainly neglects his own interests.
Purport. Brahma is deputed as the supreme head of universal affairs, and he in his turn deputes Manu and others as charge de affairs of the material manifestation. But the whole show is for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord, and similarly persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. The Lord is satisfied by the process of devotional service, consisting of the ninefold process of hearing, chanting, etc. It is in one's own interest to execute prescribed devotional service, and anyone who neglects this process neglects his own self-interest. Everyone wants to satisfy his senses, but above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the individual self. And above the individual self is the super self. Above, even the super self, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva, the primeval Lord and the cause of all causes, is Sri Krishna. The complete process of perfectional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardana. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport and translation to text 13, chapter 13, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. The ultimate self is used here, Atma Swayam, to explain Bhagavan Janardana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People are concerned about their self-interest, but they, due to misunderstanding what the self is, they are creating a situation for themselves whereby they don't actually serve their interest. Because someone identifies with the body, then he thinks that the bodily interest is his interest. Through bodily identification, one may consider himself particular race, a particular nationality, a particular some type of external designation, and then create conflicts with other groupings of bodies. This creates problems in the world. One may commit sinful activities to satisfy the senses. So this idea that I'm the senses, this is one type of self. But by simply acting on a sense level, just like a small baby, they just want to eat, sleep. They're not able to see beyond the higher anything because they're just not developed in their consciousness. So Prabhupada explained that society may be so developed with big skyscrapers, jets and so many different things. But if the ultimate objective is to have all this so that people can only enjoy the senses, this is like a vulture who flies very high, but their mind is, they're always looking on the ground for dead corpses, for corpses to eat the flesh. So although the vulture is going so high, his consciousness is always on the lowest level. So in the same way, if we have our consciousness simply with the end of sense gratification, even though there might be so much development, ultimately it's being used for something which is not in the highest self-interest of the individual. It's being used for something which even an animal can get that same kind of pleasure. So that's a sense identification is one level of self. Beyond that is the mind intelligence. So Prabhupada mentioned all this. Rudusam, mental or intellectual identification. One may consider himself a communist or a capitalist or an altruist or a holistic, different identification. And this may create conflict with others. So ultimately they have to leave this situation. We can see that all the different self identifications, how they actually create. They don't bring one to ultimate happiness. They don't bring one to the ultimate perfection. They're not, because they're not the real self. They're the self for that. I may be today communist, tomorrow I can be just like in Eastern Europe. They were communist, now they want to be democratic. So overnight they change. So we may be one thing today, tomorrow be something else. So it's not a permanent self-interest. They're working hard for the communists and they found it wasn't in their interest, now they're switching over capitalists. They may switch against something else. And this way, this is not going to bring the solution in itself. Even you have capitalism, there's problems. Here in America we have capitalist system, maybe we don't have the problems that communists have. But here the other problems are there. So then we go higher, then we find there's a self. So one works for self-realization. But we find the self is just one individual soul, but the self is ultimately coming from somewhere. That's the supreme self or super self. So we try to serve our own individual self that doesn't help anyone else. And even in trying to serve the spiritually, like the impersonal realization, one individually gets liberated. But then again, you fall down from that position because it's not natural to remain in the impersonal realization. You go to the higher realization of serving the super soul. That's also a partial realization. Finally, when you come to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and serve Him, Prabhupada gives the example from the Vedas that just like you water a root of a tree, the whole tree is nourished. So if you serve Krishna, then everyone is benefited. So the complete process of perfectional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardana. He's the self of the self. Inside the body, there's the soul. Along with the soul, there's the super soul. Even inside the Atma, the soul of the soul is Krishna. So if we serve Krishna, actually, he's the self of the self. He's the ultimate self. Actually, ultimately, we're all coming from Krishna. We don't have a separate interest from Krishna. So we simply think that we have a separate interest. Our real self-interest is to serve Krishna. Maya means to forget our connection with Krishna. Real knowledge means to know our relationship with Krishna. These are very basic things, but if you apply this, it's completely turning the everything around compared to what is normally practiced. It's actually the duty of the Brahmins to teach society this science. It's the duty of the heads of state and government to see that the citizens are engaging in devotional service. It's the duty of the Vaishyas to finance and support the programs for the citizens engaging in Vishnu worship. For the Sudras to assist. It's actually the whole society is meant for being educated and engaged in the devotional service of Rishikesha, who is the owner of the senses. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that system, the process, very simply how we can do that. Actually before, the great brahmanas, they would engage, and then they would have the big sacrifices and people would come and see. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, everyone, even a common person, can become qualified to engage directly in devotional service. This is the special benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, then at that time, he would encourage everyone to chant Hare Krishna. He went to one house of a Brahmin, but this Brahmin, from his whole life, he was chanting the name Ram Ram. So when he got to that house, he took prasadam at his house. The Brahmin, he wouldn't even talk unless it was absolutely necessary. He would simply talk by saying Ram. You want more prasadam, Ram Ram? Ram 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 Ram. Whatever he would just indicate by saying Ram. So this way he was pretty much a God-conscious person. And Lord Chaitanya stayed one day at his house and went on to see some holy places. And he had to come back the same way. So after some weeks or months, he came by the same place. That time he visited that Brahmin again. He found the Brahmin was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya was really surprised that before you were chanting Ram, or Ram Ram, now you're chanting Hare Krishna. What happened? So the Brahmin explained that actually I've been a collector in my life, like to collect nectar of the glories of the holy name. I explained other places how in the West collections are a very big thing. People collect art, coins, stamps. So many things are collected. Even I saw when we were driving to Murari Sevak Farm in the Tennessee Welcome Center, the world's largest collection of tin cans is in Tennessee. You can pay $2.50 and see every conceivable tin can has been saved by this man. Since many gun, knife, so many type of collections are there. So even baseball cards, I think nowadays are a very big thing. So, but this Brahmin, he was collecting verses on the glories of the holy name. What a wonderful thing to collect. You see, transcendental collection. This is recommended, we collect nectar. Collecting nectar of the holy name. If we collect that, then we really have something valuable. So, he explained that he knew that he quoted some verses from the different Puranas and Vedas. How the name of Rama is a Param Brahma, the name of Krishna is also Param Brahma. He knew that both Krishna and Ram, both the names were Param Brahma. He said that Ekaram Nama Varadave, Satsanama Tulavis, Ekarama Nama Varadave, that Lord Shiva once explained to Parvati that if you chant one time the name of Ram, it's equal to 1,000 times the name of Vishnu. But I also know there's another verse that says if you chant one time the name of Krishna, it's equal to 3,000 names of Vishnu. So that means that Krishna's name is 3 times more powerful than Ram's name for uplifting. So the amount of punya, or the amount of pious result one gets by chanting the name of Ram, is 1,000 times that of chanting the name, 1,000 names of Vishnu. And chanting Krishna's name is 3,000. So I knew this, but still all my life I was chanting the name of Ram. Ram was my Ishta Devata. He was my worshipable deity. So that's why I continued chanting the name of Ram. Even though I wanted to chant Krishna, but I was always attracted to chanting the name of Ram. However, after seeing you and coming in your association, now just suddenly the name of Krishna filled my heart and my mind. And now I cannot stop chanting the name Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. I'm just chanting because of your presence. So I think that actually you must be Krishna himself. Otherwise, how is it you could change me just by your contact? He fell down and grabbed the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and touched the lotus feet to his head. Sisi Radha Radha Kantaki Nitai Gaura Jagannapaladeva Subhadra Mahananiki Jai. In this way, Lord Chaitanya inspired the Brahmin to become a Krishna devotee. Of course, even when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South, one Buddhist he met and he preached and he defeated the Buddhist, but they became angry that they were defeated. So the Buddhist thought, let me, I can't defeat him by argument, by discussion, so let me kill him, feed him poison. So he prepared some food and put some poison, some dirty thing in it, the poison or some kind of dirty meat or something. It's like poison, you can say, but contaminated thing, to make Lord Chaitanya fall down from his position. As he was going to give this food, but this is one reason why we don't take food cooked by non-devotees, because you never know what they do with it, what they put in it. Actually, we travel, we sometimes buy it as juices and things. You don't even know what's in the juice. So we can't offer it to say Sri Vishnu what to do. In my previous ashram, previous life, I had a friend who was working in some juice factory. The things I used to do in the, inside that juice, so tamasic, cannot even express. Of course, you know, they maybe sterilize it somehow, but certainly the workers are really in the mode of human. That's why it's dangerous to take food like that from non-devotees. Anyway, this Buddhist priest and his disciples came, offered a big plate of food to Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was very strict. He would only take in the house of Brahmins or Vaishnavas. He wouldn't take his meal otherwise. But anyway, as he was coming up, all of a sudden a big bird came, grabbed the plate and threw it up in the air. The plate flew up and then fell down on the head of the Buddhist monk and he fell unconscious. Then his disciples were there, grabbing, you know, saying, save our guru, save our guru. So then Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna in his ear. So they started to chant. So they got initiated by Lord Chaitanya, in a sense. And then they chanted Hare Krishna in the ear of their Buddhist guru. So they became like the initiating guru for the Buddhist in the Hare Krishna line. And this way then the Buddhist became conscious again and he became purified. He became a devotee even after such a great offense. So this is the Lord Chaitanya. He would purify even envious people and make them devotees. We may not be able to make envious people devotees. Sometimes they become. You know, generally as a preacher we try to avoid envious people and preach to innocent people associated with the devotees. Lord Chaitanya was so powerful he would even take envious people and make them into devotees. That is a special potency. So sometimes devotees say, how is it possible for me to be Krishna conscious? It's such a very big thing. I'm so fallen. But Lord Chaitanya, he is a deliverer of the most fallen. Patit Pavana Gaura Hari. Aha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kura Mane Tume Vine Dayalu Jayagata Sang Sare Patit Pavana Hetu Tau Avatar Mosama Papi Na Paibhya. Actually, if we want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we should present ourselves to Lord Chaitanya as the most fallen of the fallen. And since he's the come to deliver the most fallen, then we should request, as Narottam Das Thakur did, to get delivered first. If we really consider ourselves more fallen, the worst candidate for being a devotee, then that's a very good qualification to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I'm the worst candidate, therefore I should get your mercy first. This is the number one qualification to be a devotee, is to be the most disqualified. The problem is usually disqualified people don't realize their disqualification, so they don't want devotional service. But if you're disqualified and you want devotional service, it's a very good qualification. You see, we simply have to recognize that we are disqualified, that we are unqualified, and want to be blessed with devotional service. Then we can get. It's a special, like there are so many Christmas sales now, after Christmas clearance. Now it's like after Krishna clearance. Krishna was here, Dwarpa Yuga. Alright, after Krishna clearance. Clear out the universe, send everyone back to home, back to God. Clearance sale. You see, so here's a good opportunity. Otherwise, you won't get such an opportunity for billions of years. There's a little reprieve after 400,000 years again, Satya Yuga begins, it becomes peaceful. But you can get liberation, but love of Krishna is difficult to get. Krishna gives love of Krishna, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives it the most easily. So Lord Chaitanya only comes after Krishna, sometimes. Not necessarily every time after Krishna, but he comes after Krishna. So even if he would come, Krishna only comes once in a day of Brahma, which is, a day of Brahma is 4,300,000,000,000 years. Plus the night. That means 8,600,000 years you have to wait to get another chance like this. Of course, within this 10,000 years you have a chance. After that, to get so easy opportunity, you have to wait 8 billion years. It's not like, you know, I missed this Christmas sale, I'll wait till next Christmas and buy again. If you miss this sale, you have to wait 8 billion years to get love of Krishna so easily. Then, why take such a, who's gonna miss such an opportunity? This is a rare bargain sale. So we should snap it up. Otherwise, that's why I said all the yugas, this is the most, this Kali Yuga when Lord Chaitanya comes is considered the king of the yugas, the best. So we should take advantage of the opportunity that Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada are giving us, and also try to help others. Since we want to serve Lord Chaitanya, what we do, we take all kind of difficulties only for the purpose of pleasing Lord Krishna. If Krishna is pleased, then our job, our activity is a success. We may do so many things, but if Krishna isn't pleased, what is the success of it? Sometimes devotees get bewildered and they think, yes, I have to become a famous musician, or I have to become a famous or rich businessman, or I have to become a successful, whatever the material thing is. And then, with that, then I can actually serve Krishna. But then they neglect their devotional service and independently they just try to do something as if they're going to give that to Krishna later. And they usually get very much entangled, not realizing that actually everything is dependent on Krishna. And the whole purpose of life should simply be to please Krishna. In the natural course of our occupational duty, if we achieve certain success, we should also use that for Krishna. Otherwise, independently, if we do even become a success, if Krishna is not pleased, if you're not able to serve Krishna with that, then what is the use? That is a little flickering situation which doesn't last. Like Prabhupada, he made a comment, I think, when some politician got killed. He says they're prominent for some time, like a bubble in the ocean, then it pops and it's gone. We have Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is talking to Ramananda Rai, the devotee of Radha and Krishna. The devotee, they're the real important people, the VIPs. Because if they're important in Krishna's eyes, then that means they're important. They're having some universal.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jaya Bhattaka Swami on January 3, 1990 in New Orleans, Louisiana. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 13, Text 13.
What they do is affecting the welfare of the whole universe. Otherwise, someone does something has no permanent effect, simply moving the energy a little bit. But the devotee is liberating so many souls, bringing them to the spiritual platform. Therefore, Krishna said, of all the persons in the universe, the devotee who's spreading this message, teaching the Bhagavad Gita message to others, he's the dearmost. No one will ever be dearer than he is. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So that's in our interest to serve Krishna, because he's the ultimate self. If we serve Krishna, we serve ourselves. It's the selfless way to be selfish, or the selfless way to be self-serving. You serve yourself by serving the Supreme Self, and by serving the Supreme Self, you're also serving everyone else. So there's no contradiction. A very selfish person means people think, oh, he's simply thinking about himself. But by serving Krishna, you're simultaneously serving yourself in the best way, and you're helping everyone else. Because you're serving the self of everyone. It's not only that my ultimate self is Krishna, your ultimate self, her ultimate self, his ultimate self, everybody's ultimate self is Krishna. So we serve Krishna, we're serving the ultimate self of everyone. Any question?
As Kaviraj explained it, we can make any considerations in the voice of Lord Chaitanya, who's higher, who's lower, because it's unconsiderable. There's no any differentiation between who's more higher and lower. And further, in the Adi Lila, when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, he was talking about with the devotees up to the card festival, the Yatrata Yatra, they were asking how we can become more Krishna consciousness. He was saying serving the Vaishnavas. So they were asking him again, who is a Vaishnava? He was saying, one who chants just one time the name of Krishna, he is a Vaishnava. So why is it, in the same time he's explaining so many different levels like Kanishtha, Uttama, Madhyama, and now so many crowds because they don't want to consider a devotee who's a preacher, a devotee who's a true preacher, Lord Chaitanya is in that advanced level. And they make so many considerations of the scriptures, of who is a Kanishtha, and trying to put everybody in the plane of he's just everybody's a materialistic devotee. When for the eyes of Lord Chaitanya, just when a person who chants one time is already a Vaishnava.
Yes, Lord Chaitanya said that if you chant even one time, you're a Vaishnava, but he said also that there's different ways of respecting Vaishnavas. He said someone who's chanting but they're not strictly following or they're envious or they're somehow they're not rightly situated, we respect them as Vaishnava in the heart, but we don't intimately associate with them or listen to them because they may disturb our mind. So that if there's someone who's very strictly following, they're initiated and they're strictly following and they're not envious, they're very well situated in the path of devotional service, we call them as Prabhu. We offer them respect, bow down to them. Then there's devotees who actually realize the purport of the scriptures and devotional service. By their preaching, they're able to destroy the doubts of other devotees. Some people, by their propaganda, can create doubts. But this is not the sign of a uttama adhikari, to be able to create doubts in devotional service. It's not one of the signs. That may be the sign of, so unless you're uttama adhikari, how you can recognize another uttama adhikari? Because one of the qualifications of uttama adhikari is that he cannot be recognized by others. But says the qualification of uttama adhikari, he destroys the doubts of others and establishes them without any doubt. So said, someone like that who's purely preaching, then he can be taken shelter of and accepted as a spiritual master. Even if someone, of course, getting a little bit off the point, even if someone says, okay, nobody is a uttama adhikari, just Prabhupada is a uttama adhikari. Then Prabhupada said that any spiritual master, any devotee who is very sincerely following a uttama adhikari guru, whether he's a madhyam or a kanishta, but he strictly, without speculating or adding his own thing, he's simply teaching what the uttama adhikari has taught and leading people to the uttama adhikari, he can also take him as a guru, and that's just as good. That he'll lead one, that's also okay. But that's not exactly on the point you're speaking of. But, since that's an underlying topic comes up sometimes. So there's different ways we do, although the context, I believe that the part you're talking, the third chapter, is specifically dealing, there are so many devotees, associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the associates of Lord Chaitanya are on the transcendental platform. Someone may be Madhurya Leela or Vatsalya or Sakya or Dasya, but they're all on the transcendental level. So we can't say this is higher, this is lower. We don't say like Radharani is higher than Hanuman in that sense. We don't get into like higher and lower in a material way. They're all transcendental. But then for Hanuman, his devotion is the greatest. But his intensity, you say, of the service or intimacy, because of Dasya Bhav, may be somewhat limited. Because that particular emotion or that type of service has got a certain limited range or scope as compared to Madhurya or Vatsalya. But for that devotee in that particular rasa, he's completely satisfied and full. He's not thinking, I want to be a gopi. I want to be a parent of Krishna. He's quite happy, quite fully satisfied in that service, in that particular rasa. So it's not that one's higher and one's lower in some material sense, you know, like a status symbol or something. Who's got a higher sky-rise building or who's got a bigger car. It's simply that one is more, you can say, complete or something. And that's kind of another transcendental sense we have, like a higher, lower. But it's not, you know, in a material sense. So that way you can't say this devotee is greater than that devotee. Because they're all on the they're already beyond that type of, you know, beyond that type of distinction. They're already, all of them are so great that it's, you see, it's just a very cosmetic or superficial. It's not relevant to discuss that this one's greater than that one. They're all great. So of course, then you might again, they might say that. Then again, you'll find somewhere else that say, well, amongst them, you know, Subhadamada was really the most intimate because he not only was, he knew the conclusion of the scripture. Like that, you know, he says, it's first to just establish, clear the thing, because you have like one who's the, you know, Brahma is better than Indra, Indra is better than the other devas because he's Indra Raj. Those devas are better than the Gandharvas and other who are just lower, but the Gandharvas are better than human beings. You know, because actually there's some physical, you know, difference of their capacity. But when you get up, each of those devotees of Lord Chaitanya is qualified to give mercy to everyone. They're all in the transcendental platform. Those Nitya Siddha, Gaurango Nitya, was that verse that Narottam said? Gaurango Sangogane Nitya Siddha Kore Mane Tarhoi Gora Mandala Bhumi Deva Jane Chintamani Tahoi Bajumi Vats. And there's other, in that same song, there's one that says, Gorango Sangigane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane. Some other conclusion is there. That someone who knows, accepts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees as eternally liberated soul, he's glorified. He's a real devotee or something. I forget what Narottam said, but so there's different ways we deal with different types of devotees. So one thing you're talking is apples and oranges. The first thing is that he's talking about the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. They're all in transcendental platforms. Someone may be Madhurya, some may be Sakya. Doesn't matter. They're all Nitya Siddha. They're all eternal liberated souls. They're in the transcendental platform. That. It's my objective view, which devotee is doing more type of service, more complete is their devotional range of emotions. That way you can discuss. But it's not that one is material, one. They're all on an absolute platform. They're all pleasing Krishna fully. There's no tinge of material in any of them. But that's why he was avoiding, you know, that he didn't want to say that this one's greater than that one. Just clearing it. Don't think that if what I'm saying is trying to say that one is better than the other. I'm just explaining their different qualities. They're all transcendental. Just so he doesn't offend anyone, he mentions like that.
When you mentioned that the devotee who is fully established in sadhana and is initiated, how to view his many respect is higher. But we see now that most of the devotees who are really established in sadhana and following the rules and regulations, they are the devotees who are creating a lot of doubts in the other devotees who then consider them lower because we are disciples of newer devotees.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You explained that the devotee who is already fixed in his...
And yeah, but I don't know what the second part.
These devotees are...
Who's the devotee?
The devotees who are already situated and are we following this, we following that. They are creating the doubts.
Every devotee that's initiated is creating doubts. Amongst them, there's someone creating doubts.
Amongst them, the devotees who are really fixed, even more, most of them are sannyasis. They're creating different philosophies for trying to, you know, to put so much doubts in the devotees who are making devotional service in the beginning of the stage. So how
would they? I don't know. I don't accept that. Most of the sannyasis in ISKCON are creating doubts.
No.
I don't think so.
No, some of them are sannyasis. So, and they leave the movement and they start creating doubts and others who are...
Well, that's the movement. That means they're not properly situated.
Even if they are following strictly rules and regulations.
How they disobey their guru's order? What is it? You miss the main point and then you do some cosmetic thing. Do some of those. The main guru's order, if you neglect, without the whole point, the verse today. Whatever you do, if Krishna's not pleased, it's all a waste of time. If you disobey the guru's order and do something totally different and against the order of guru and Krishna, then whatever you say is bound to be distorted. That's why Prabhupada said the Gaudiya Math could never get off the ground after they disobeyed Bhakti Siddhanta's order to work under the GBC. They started to speculate and they had their own material concoctions. The spiritual life has no scope for introducing material ideas. Once you start introducing your material ideas, then it's finished. Then you lose the taste. That's why Lord Chaitanya said that we cannot be lazy when it comes to understanding the conclusions of the devotional service, the scriptures. We have to study Prabhupada's books. Most of the people, they're nuts. They read every other book. They don't want to study Prabhupada's books again and again. Actually, Prabhupada's books have so much information to protect us from this mental speculation. For the disciple, if he thinks that spiritual master is angry, the anger of the spiritual master is also a blessing to teach the disciple not to do something wrong. Someone may be doing something which is not right, because of that they have to suffer. The guru may be show anger at them to impress that this is wrong what you're doing, you should correct yourself. Whatever they're doing right, they may also get some blessing. Even people who leave or who don't strictly follow Prabhupada, but there's something they're still doing. To that extent they're getting some mercy they're getting. But because they're not strictly following Prabhupada's instruction or the previous acharya's instruction, they're not able to get up to the expectation. They're not able also to achieve their full mercy because they're not doing, they're following the full instruction. Any other question?
Perturbed this last time with something that I really want to probably put me to say the question is that we are all your disciples, we are so glad that we serve Srila Prabhupada by being servant of the servant. But now it looks like it's a strong philosophy between some devotees that we all are Prabhupada disciples and they want to establish this as a part of the GVC, to talk with the GVC and establish this as a part of making petitions of that they really want to help you. Consider as a Prabhupada disciple. Personally, I can contribute better and develop like an offensive mentality towards the devotees who talk in this way. And what is the best way to deal with or philosophically destroy this wrong kind of philosophy? Because even our devotees who are very established in sadhana and everything, but they say things like, I don't really can come to the 11th country because it's not the work of Prabhupada, trying to diminish the work of Srila Chaitanya. So these things are really perturbing.
Ultimately, the 10th canto is not written by Hridayananda Maharaj, it's written by Vyasadeva.
And they are in this foolish position.
He's just translating it. And the translation of the previous acharyas. If somebody says something foolish, this is why we have to know the correct philosophy, then we can defeat the foolish ideas. According to Jiva Goswami, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whoever the founder Acharya is of Sampradaya, he's a Shiksha Guru for all the followers. So in one sense, everyone is a Shiksha disciple of Prabhupada. But according to the disciplic succession of, that we be the formal initiation, Diksha Shiksha Guru that we follow, we have the Parampara system. Otherwise, then if we say that Prabhupada is the absolute guru, we don't have any other guru, then why do we need, then what is the meaning of having a parampara system? Then everyone could have been Lord Chaitanya's disciple or Brahma's disciple directly. There's no need of having a disciplic succession. What you're saying that people, that is actually in itself, it's defeating. No sane devotee even contemplates that there's no validity at all. If the conclusion of an argument ends up at something which is ridiculous, that means the argument itself is ridiculous. If the conclusion is that there's no need to have a Guru Parampara system, which has been given in all the Prabhupada's books and all the Vedas, that you have to come within the Parampara, Jai Jagannath, Dharadharakanta, Taini Taini, that means that defeats the argument itself. You can say so many things, but if your conclusion it's against the Vedas. So what's the question? It's just like, according to logic, you can say that Vedas say that that the cow stool is pure. Therefore, Brahman is better than a cow, so Brahman stool is pure. So we can put Brahman stool on our plates when we take prasadam, and we can use it to, you know. But no, you can't bring it. It's a dirty thing. But you can bathe the deity in cow. So, but they're taking something out of context and then using some kind of logic. And by logic, they're coming with a conclusion which is against the Vedas. And they consider themselves pundits. Like this, there are millions of pundits in the Vedic culture. It's called Nyaya.
Actually, we need to study, it seems, Nyaya to be able to deal with the misuse of logic. One of the, it's like you say, Bill is an American. Bill killed John. Therefore, American killed John. Therefore, all Americans are murderers. And it's not, doesn't work. But that's the type of this. Use one thing to prove another. But the ultimate conclusion is wrong. So that means that the whole argument is not based properly.